And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September the 11th, 2021. Trying to get acclimated here. Give me just a moment. I try to figure out everything.
Again.
I know, yes. Like, my mic was way too hot. That's way too loud. So I'm just trying to get everything set. It's all new. It's all different. And I'm trying not to kill you guys with too much volume there. So... anyway, welcome to the show for September the 11th, 2021. It's season 15, episode 30. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
Hey, hang on. Let's find you guys.
Yeah, I'm here.
I think that's you.
I don't hear me in my ears.
You don't hear you in your ears?
I don't hear me myself in my ears.
That's weird.
I hear the music, but I don't hear myself.
I'm hoping it's nothing with this.
Yeah, box. Turn her volume up if you could. She's number two.
Okay.
Can you hear yourself?
One, two, one, two. I hear myself.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I think, RJ, you are... which one are you, RJ?
I'm not sure. I think it's the third one, maybe?
I found you.
Okay.
All right. One, two, and four. Okay, that makes sense. One, two, three, four. Okay. Good.
So we're good now?
Yeah, we figured out how to count. And so now we can get on with the show here. As I try to, again, this is just so different.
Yeah, and if anything's wrong, I'm sure the chat will let us know.
Yeah, but I can't see the chat. It's over here. I can't have it in front of me.
It's in front of me, so we're good.
Well, that's good. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228 is the number. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook as well as, I don't know, we're all over the place.
Yes, we are.
Email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch.tv. You can go there, type in Twitch.tv, go there, type in InGameChat. And you'll be able to find us live and watch us live while we broadcast.
You hit the magic button, didn't you?
I don't know. I'm trying to. It's just so weird. It's just strange. Doesn't sound. What? I hear somebody's volume. Is your computer volume?
It is. That's one thing I did not turn down. That's me.
That's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. Trust me. This is, this is going to, we'll take some time. We'll get there. We will get there. We do it. We have to do it enough. Unfortunately, we only do it one time a week. And this is really only our second time doing it, although it feels like our first still. Oh, yeah. Let me do this. Get this out of the way very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sync all this up when I do my editing. Here we go. Done. Don't have to worry about that. So, man, that hum. Boy, I can hear that. Yeah, I wish I could tell you that, that doesn't do it. And none of that does it. It's...
Right now, folks, we're playing a game of let's see what happens when I hit this.
Yeah. And none of and nothing does it. None of it. Well, we all went away when that happened.
We all
went away when that happened. So yeah, I don't know where it's coming from. I wish I did.
TV, the lights, a PC down there.
No, I have no idea. I have no idea. I will say that sitting over there, because that's where I sit, where Wendy sits Monday through Friday.
Right.
I don't hear it.
Mm.
Not like I can hear it right now.
Well, I don't hear it now.
It's
probably how we're hooked up then.
Possibly. Yeah, it could be. It could be out of just this feed. Not a bad idea. Maybe have her plug into the middle and then have the computer plug into hers. That's an option we may try next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to remember it, or during a break.
Yeah,
we'll test it out and see. Anyway, sorry about this. This is going to be going on, you know, this week and next week, and as we go and get familiar, acclimated, and everything else, we'll get it worked out. It's all new, so it feels weird. It's like being in a brand new studio, trying to figure out how things work. Welcome to the show, though, everybody. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, you've got our numbers, and you're also on Twitch and Discord. We got people on Discord. Nobody's in the Discord chat just yet, which is absolutely fine. Plenty to get to because we've been gone for 2 weeks and had a lot of things happen, I suppose, in the sense of new announcements and things like that, especially when it comes to Sony as well. And we're going to get into all of that stuff as we go this afternoon. So let's start, though, with what we've played. We will start with RJ and find out what he's been doing in the past 2 weeks.
Well, I haven't been doing too much. I've still been pretty much playing the same two games. I've been playing Grand Theft Auto Online. I've finally been able to do the Cayo Perico heist solo. I finally got a method down to get at least break $1 million every time I do the heist, which is the fastest way for me to get money in the game now, which was a problem before I figured out how to do this heist, really. The thing about the heist is that there's so many different options you can use to infiltrate the island, get to the island, and break into it. The goal of the thing is to steal an item from this drug lord, El Rubio, steal it from him, take this item from him, and get out of there. And if you get any secondary targets that you do, fine, that's just more money to add to the pot, really.
Yeah.
Since it's so random, you got to try, I think it's a choice between bear bonds, a diamond-encrusted bottle of tequila, go figure, a sapphire-encrusted panther statue. That's the target. That's the one. I think that's the one that's worth... $2 million, I think, with all the other accessory secondary targets you get in there with it.
Velvet Elvis in there somewhere?
I don't know about no Velvet Elvis.
Probably not, but yeah.
I think a giant ruby of some sort. Probably some other things that I haven't seen yet. I've only done it like maybe 5 or 6 times, and I got 2 tequila bottles back to back, so it's probably going to be really set at random for me. I think the best way for me to go in there is the long fin, which is basically a boat.
Yeah.
You have to, but as with any heist in this game, you have to do a lot of setup missions for it. So depending on how you set up the heist and how you want to do it, you have a certain set of missions that you have to go on to get them. The only gripe I have about the heist mission is the gathering intel part. Gathering intel requires you to take a plane, fly to the island, which takes a minute, especially on the map of GTA. And then you have to engage in stealth type activities to get to the communication tower to see what's in the vault, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said before that Grand Theft Auto has never been a game really that does stealth very well.
Right.
I mean, it's just really
kind of
hit and miss in terms of how stab the cones of vision. It's basically stab the cone of vision of the guards as you're going by. But sometimes they'll just look through walls and see you, and you're trying to figure out how in the world did this guard see me or it doesn't really tell you what the levels are. If they're a floor above, it's not. If they're a floor above, it doesn't really show indicate that unless you're like two floors above, and it really shows you how different the level is. So it's kind of difficult to navigate through the stealth part of the game. But given the amount of times I've tried and failed the mission, I was able to get a rhythm and a pattern and set, so I could steal what I wanted out of there and get a little money for myself, which is, like I said, has been a problem as of late. So other than that, baseball, MLB The Show.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of that. Started a franchise mode, just started basic season play. And I still get experience off of that. So I've still been getting packs and player cards for Diamond Dynasty. Most recently, I got the Diamond Shohei Ohtani card. Must have been a feature or something, because it was just random to me. I just opened a pack and there he was. So I'll be able to put him on the Diamond Dynasty team pretty soon anyway. And outside of that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah?
Yep.
As for me, it's just been Destiny 2, a little bit of it. I forget. We weren't here last weekend. So, yeah, I put in a good amount of time last weekend with the holiday weekend. It was also Iron Banner week, so it was a lot of grinding on that. Mm. I was one of the tougher Iron Banners I've done. I didn't even finish all my bounties like I normally do, or finish the quest that comes with the Iron Banner thing.
Okay, tougher? Is it tougher because you haven't done it in a while, or tougher because they changed something?
I don't know.
Because I thought the Iron Banner just felt like the same old grind.
I don't know, but it was very, very grindy.
Well, it's always grindy.
I mean, yeah, but more so than what I was used to.
Okay.
Like, normally I get everything complete. I did not get everything complete.
Mm-hmm. And your standard amount of play that you normally do?
With even more than I normally do, because this is a holiday weekend. It's rare when Iron Banner weeks fall on a holiday weekend, where you got the time off and you can do what you need to do with it. But even with all that time to be able to do that, didn't do anything. Mm. I didn't get as far as I thought I could get with it. So, which is fine. It'll come back around, and that's no big deal. I'll eventually get there. This season is 6 months in length, at least. Mm. So it's going to be a very long time before we get, because this is going all the way to the expansion, which comes out in February.
Okay.
So there's a lot of time to make up ground. And in fact, most of the quests that they've given, whereas in seasons past, it was just go and you'll get it done. This one is, you know, you finish a quest and then another quest is given to you, but you can't progress until next week. Mm. So they are time gating things, which is understandable when your season now normally is
spread it out,
you know, 3.5 months to now 6 months. You've got to somehow, you know, keep that thing going for the players. And I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm fine. I'm sort of fine with it. I suppose I'm fine with it because I don't get, you know, that much time to play as opposed to somebody else would get. And I would imagine if I was still playing like I used to play, or where I was putting in time every single day of the week and everything else, I would probably be frustrated with the time gain. I would be like, just let me continue, you know, let me keep going. But it's okay. It's fine. This will work out fine. It's still going to, the seasonal challenges are still going to last 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, here's plenty of time for you to catch up on anything you missed and to do anything you need to get done. So I'm not too worried. I'm not too worried about that. So Destiny is what I've been playing. The other game is a game that I've been playing with Wendy, Wendy and I have been playing the game together, not cooperatively, and not multiplayer. Like, she's playing it, I'm playing it, and I will. Did you? Is that all you've played? Did you play anything else?
That is all I've played.
That is all she played. So, tell them what you've played and what we've played.
We've been clicking cookies.
Yeah, we bought cookie clicker.
Yeah.
Okay.
We bought cookie clicker.
I'm hooked on the cookies.
I mean, I could, yeah. The day it released, I was like, it's $5. I'm going to grab it. And just for nostalgia's sake, I'm going to grab it. Because this was back in 2013, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
2013 is when the original Cookie Clicker was. It was web-based, and it was, I don't know where I stumbled upon it. I have no idea how I found it. I would say Reddit, but I don't even think I was using Reddit at the time. I don't know how I came across this game.
August of 2013, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I came across it. But I did, and I started playing it on the web version that they had, and I was doing exactly what I'm doing now, which is letting it sit there and idle and continue to do its thing. It's an idle game. For those who aren't aware of what those are, it's a game where you can fire it up, and at a certain point, not very far into the game, you can leave it alone, and it'll just continue to do it. You can come back to it and increase what it does while it sits by itself, and actively increase the amount of cookies that you make. But yeah, it's an idle game. You just leave it there. It does the rest. You don't have to worry about it. It really basically spawned the whole genre of that sort of idle clicking type of game, which if you're not familiar with, then obviously it wasn't that big of a thing. But there's tons of games out there now that are just, what is it? I think there's something called Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realm or something like that, where it's nothing but set it and forget it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how it works. So, yeah, Cookie Clicker. In fact, there was an article there where it says more people are... Yes, I want to do... I wish it would just default to open up and the thing I tell it to instead of all this other stuff. No, thanks. Yeah, more people are playing Cookie Clicker than Rainbow Six Siege, Civilization VI, Phasmophobia. It was in the top 15 most played games by concurrent users. It is currently in the... Well, it was in the 14th position, which was ahead of all of those, even Warframe. It was ahead of all of those. So, yeah.
Warframe's still going after all this time.
It says it's fueled by the nostalgia of those who lost hours of attention to it in 2013. So, it was fun to go back to and enjoy and play and experience. And I'm remembering parts of it. You know, as I play, I'm remembering, oh, yeah, that was a thing, or this is a thing, or whatever the case may be. It's kind of like getting on a bike type of thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
where it just sort of, you don't forget. There's aspects to it that I have forgotten. Like just how many different buildings can you have that are making cookies for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing is still going, and a lot of these I don't remember from ever how long ago. I don't remember the... I opened up a new one. It's a chance something. I have no idea, but it's a building I don't ever remember opening up before. And all you do is just make cookies. Right now I'm cooking. Right now I'm baking. I think it's like 16 billion a second. 16 billion cookies a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I was in the trillions, but I hit the... What's the one after trillion? Quintillion.
I think so.
I think it's quintillion, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I'm at. So, a lot of cookies being made. Where are you at? You've done a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, see, I ascended a couple of times. And, I tried that route. And you have to keep starting over. And I'm getting tired of it. So I'm going to stop ascending and just let everything build up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm...
She's not going to stop ascending. It burns that it's just, there's this thing up there in the corner, and you just got to click.
Well, you know why I'm here, why I'm waiting for things to take a turn.
Right. And you have to keep doing it. You have to keep building up your amount of cookies before it takes that turn.
Right.
Because once you own a bunch of grandmas who are making cookies for you, you can open up the bingo center, which will then start doing research apply upgrades to what you're doing, and eventually you're going to get to the elder upgrade or something like that, which will change how the game plays. If you decide to do that, you don't have to do that. You can just continue making cookies as long as you want.
Well, no, I'm here for...
I know you're here for the end of the world, the Grand Apocalypse, or whatever.
I'm here for the Grand Apocalypse.
Yeah,
that's what I'm waiting for. That's the only reason I'm clicking cookies.
That's the actual term.
What?
Grandma Apocalypse.
It's a thing. It's something they've come to term. The thing that happens is the Grandma Apocalypse, because you have a bunch of grandmas, and the grandmas are already cranky.
Right.
They're already cranky. They don't like doing it. They feel like, you know, you're just a slave driver, making them cook all these cookies, and then you do something that completely changes the way the game's played. Suddenly, not only you, suddenly as you're making cookies, there are things that comes in and starts reducing your production.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to fix that and work with that and all this other stuff. But it's only triggered by you. You have to trigger it. So if it's if you want to do that, it's available for you to do. And if you don't, you can just continue to make cookies all you want. So I already picked up this morning or last night. I think it was this morning I picked up the Bingo Center. Because that's one... Well, is it? It's quadrillion, not quintillion. It's quadrillion.
I know you're up to the quadrillions right now.
Yeah, it's quadrillion. Yeah. It's like one quadrillion cookies to open up the Bingo Research Center. And I've done that, and it's... upgrading, you know, all these different things, but it hasn't given me the one that kind of changes the way the game is played. I will skip that because I'm going to wait until I'm much further in. There's just a lot to it. What's the point of it? That's a good question. There is no point to it. The point of it is to see, is to just watch the number go higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And to stack things on top of each other to see how high that number goes. It's going to go forever. It won't stop. It'll just keep going. I've seen screenshots of other people who are just way, the number is just massive. But is there a point to it? No, there's not. No. There's absolutely no point to it. But for some reason,
it hooks you it hooks your curiosity.
There's a feed or there's a drip or there's something that just keeps you there looking at it, sitting there waiting for a golden cookie to pop up so you can click it and get some sort of neat power up that lasts for a few minutes or seconds,
mm-hmm.
even, so that you can then spend more cookies to buy more buildings to make more cookies with, and then that's it. You just keep doing this.
Yeah, I find myself like, okay. One cookie, one more cookie, and then I'm getting up. I'm going and I have to do this or that. Five cookies later, I'm still waiting for the next cookie.
Yeah.
This is what a lot of people, call as the one more turn scenario. Mm-hmm. Which is basically what it is. It comes out of Civilization games,
mm-hmm.
where you just wait for your turn to come around and you're like, okay, I'm going to do one more thing with it and then I'm going to go to bed. So you'll click it and do your one thing, and then everybody makes their turn. It's like, well, you know what? I can do this thing. And so you just sit there, and one turn turns into like 10.
Mm-hmm.
One click turns into 50. 5 minutes of waiting turns into an hour, and you're like, yeah, okay, fine. When this fills back up, I'll do this, and then I'm gonna set it. You know, it's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad she found that in a clicking game, but, you know, it's... I'm just glad she found it and that she's enjoying. It's kind of like getting her, you know, interested in Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Listen, we got our trash TV, okay? There's some trash TV that I enjoy. I'm guilty pleasure television. Big Brother is one of those shows, and I'm not ashamed of it. So anyway, so is wrestling. I'm also not ashamed of that either. Let's see, where are we at? 4:30. I want to come back to the cookie clicker, though, and I want to talk to you about it. Only for the fact that I want to get your opinion, somebody who is not
a gamer,
as much into gaming as everybody else is, finding this and finding whatever it does for you. It's a chemical. I know Biloxi Gambler would know what it is because casinos use the same thing. It's and the best games do it.
Well, I have an addictive personality, so.
Right. Well, they find that one thing. They find something that gives you that drip. Every so often of accomplishment, of progress, of moving ahead a little bit, or the chance of moving ahead a little bit or getting that progress.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of games use it. A lot of games try very hard to find whatever that is, and most of these are your Destiny-type games, your big MMO, open world, big, because they want those games to last, and they want to keep you there so that you continue to spend money. Although there's no money spending in Cookie Clicker other than just to buy the one thing. You can't buy upgrades. You can't spend real money beyond buying the game, and that is it. And it's like $5. $5 and some change. Or you can play it for free by just going, type in Cookie Clicker in Google, and you can go to the web browser, the web-based version. Play it there. You don't even have to pay for it. Mm. I think it's ad-supported, but, you know, we all have... ad blockers. We can figure out ways around that. So, yeah, it's you could see it right now and probably wonder, what the hell is this? And it'll either hook you or you'll hate it, and that's perfectly fine.
No middle ground, huh?
It's hard for me to say because I am addicted to it, obviously, and I'm in with it. So it's hard for me to say that there's no.
At first, I thought it was ridiculous. I thought, right. There's no way.
I'm guessing.
Are we talking about Big Brother or Cookie Clicker?
Both.
I'm guessing. Okay, I'm not one to say hate, and I guess I'd say it'll either hook you and addict you, or you're going to look at it and say, "People play this." That type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it sometimes and think I'm playing this. Yeah. You know. You have to, you think about it, and you sit there and you strategize and everything else. Like, why? It's just a web, just leave it alone. It'll do what it needs to do if you just step back, mm-hmm. You know? You can make it do it faster, or you can just wait. You don't have to worry about it too much. So, I don't know. It's an interesting concept, and I want to talk about it with her since, you know, this is something that has pulled her in. And we'll compare it to something, you know, kind of like Animal Crossing, because I know that's your other game that you really enjoyed. We haven't played it in a while, but it's the first one that really kind of got you into the whole thing, just to find out what was the appeal to that compared to the appeal to this. There's nothing that we ever rehearsed. I never sent these questions to her. Yeah. They're hitting me right now as we speak. So anyway, we're going to take a break. Might try and mess with the headphones here. So those of you who are listening on the on Twitch and are watching, you might hear some audio cutouts and stuff like that. But yeah, we're going to come right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Music here from a game called Song of Iron. I think this is very Viking-ish, so you're going to hear some real guttural type stuff here. Speaking of Viking, or not Vikings, Norse. Well, Norse, Vikings, mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of that, we're going to talk about, God of War. Mm. The stuff we saw from the PlayStation Showcase. Did you watch any of that, by the mm-hmm. way? Okay. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Aliens Fireteam Elite. It's a game that just came out. I think it was a few weeks ago that it came out. Yeah, I haven't played it. It's gotten good. I've heard it's got good word of mouth, and it's fine. It's just not my kind of thing.
I think I was trying to compare it to Predator's Battleground.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hunting Ground. It was Battleground.
Yeah,
Hunting
yeah.
Ground.
I know the Ground. One you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but just not my thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm, glad it's out there. Anytime an alien game can do well, because mm-hmm. they've had some really bad ones in the past.
Yeah.
But anytime they can do it and do it right, that's always good. I like when a fan base gets something that's worth, their time and effort and money and everything else. For fans, because you don't get it, you don't get it that often. Mm-hmm. Games at least some of the big ones, it takes a while for them to get made. So it's one of those situations where let's look at the Batman games, for instance, the Arkham games from Rocksteady.
Right.
Batman. And every year it's or every time they're going to announce, it's like, ooh, the next Batman game is going to get announced. And then they announce it. And then after the third one, it's like, OK, well, we know that they're done with it. What's their next game going to be? You know, and they kind of drip feed you a little bit of like, oh, it's going to be comic book based. It'll be DC and that sort of thing. You're thinking, oh, it's going to be Superman or something like that. But you know it's not going to be Batman, although, you know, then they say what it is, and I don't know about everybody else, but it was a big old disappointment. And we still haven't seen anything. Apparently we're supposed to see something, I think, coming up in October for the DC event that's going on in October.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get more of Gotham Knights, and we'll get more, I think, of the Suicide Squad, maybe. I'm not sure, but it's one of those where you see it and you're thinking, oh man, that whole games as a service thing is going to come true with these guys. It's not what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to wait years and years and years for them to either go back to what they were good at, which was, you know, the Batman games, or do something different. And so anytime you do that with a franchise, like an Alien franchise, that sort of thing, you hope it's good when they do it, because that can be your holder, or at least decent to hold you over until the next thing that comes out that you're looking forward to, whatever it might be. So I'm not big into the multiplayer type of stuff that game is. Is it like four versus one, or is it kind of like...
I think it's a four versus one thing.
Is it? Yeah.
Four versus one. Because you got different archetypes of Marines to go through the game on.
Yeah. I'm really sorry to everybody in the Twitch chat. The way that the room is set up, I can't have my laptop in front of me anymore because there's a board here. So I can't sit here, and that means I have to look over here to check the chat room and see what's going on. I got to figure out some way to get this screen on this screen. Yeah, we'll figure it all out. I'm sorry. If you're in there in chat and you're telling me all these things, I have to look for it. As I go back and look at the screen, he says it's a horde shooter. There is no player versus player.
Mm.
Okay, so it is. It's a Left 4 Dead, essentially, just with the aliens theme for it. Four-player co-op or five-player co-op. I'm not exactly sure how many players it allows.
Yeah.
And, you know, you versus AI as a co-op thing. So I like horde modes. That's not bad.
Mm.
So anyway, welcome back to the show. Wanted to talk with Wendy about Cookie Clicker here, and we talked a little bit about it, but what is your draw to it? Is it the same thing that I was talking about, or is it something different?
Like I said, it's addictive.
But what is the addiction? What keeps you doing
it? One more time.
Yeah?
Just one more time, and seeing the numbers go up. That's why I cannot go to Vegas. I can't. There's no way I would be addicted. I'd be hooked. I would.
We've all been to Vegas, haven't we?
I have. Have you?
No, and I don't want to go.
No, she hasn't been to Vegas. She doesn't want to go.
Yeah, when I went to Evo.
You went to Evo, though.
I went to Evo, yeah. Well, yeah, but there was a casino in the building we went. So, yeah, so it's everywhere.
There's slots when you get off the plane.
Yeah, so it's just casinos everywhere, right? And the weirdest thing I took out of there was... The guy drunkenly staggering out the lobby, that one, and the fact that...
Where'd you stay?
Bally's, I think.
Really?
The Bally's one. But I think the thing that got me more than anything else was the fact that in the casino, no windows, but you look up at the ceiling and it's painted like the morning sky. So it's like you don't have the sense of your sense of time is altered and affected.
And that just
really stuck out to me more than anything about that. When I thought about the reasons why it's painted that way, I was like, "Oh, that's kind of dirty." But but that's how to get your money, really. So that was stuck out to me more about that whole thing. I know not really a gambler. I mean, I was like, "Okay, I'll try this slot one time. Okay, I'm done. Let's go home." I got more Street Fighter to train for in the game in the tournament tomorrow. So yeah, that was pretty much my focus on the entire thing. But yeah. I saw some folks there. They went there, took a grand and blew that away, trying to get money like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the secret really is just like take what you can afford to lose. That's it's simple, but it's hard for people to execute that idea. Just take what you can afford to lose, and after that, let it go. But it's called an addiction for a reason.
Yeah, it never pulled me in that regard.
Yeah,
never pulled me in. I did play some when I was there, but it was not. It was nothing that was hard to leave, I suppose, or where it was like, I want to keep going. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pulling me in like any kind of a video game ever pulled me in. And most of the stuff out there is just video machines of all kinds of different games. And I actually don't like those. Mm-hmm. I would rather sit down and play, you know, blackjack if that's what I'm going to do. Sit down, actually hold the card, not sit there and press buttons to play blackjack.
With an actual dealer.
With an actual dealer. You know? And play poker with actual people.
Yeah.
I don't like the machine part of it.
Yeah.
I never have, mainly because that's all built upon, and of course, this has got to be Biloxi Gambling. and the other thing is that I know that they're set. You know, it's kind of like your claw machines and other games of chance you see in department stores or retail stores or something like that, where you can put in and do the claw thing. There's a setting on it to say that, look, one out of ever how many tries, it's going to really, you know, grip whatever it's going to grip. Otherwise, it's going to just do this, you know, light thing and do whatever. Not going to work. Well, she's having a great conversation over there.
Okay, he's ready for you.
What? Is exactly who I thought it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured that was it. So he's probably got a lot. He's probably going to school me in a lot of stuff here since I know he knows it. Hey, man.
Hey, good to hear y'all. Well, you called my name, and I was going, okay, well, I'm going to be calling in, but I wanted to hear the rest about the idle game. I've got an idle game that I can talk about, too. I don't know if we got time, though, since y'all was talking so much about casinos and everything.
Right, yeah.
Okay. First of all, and I'm going to answer your question you asked about on slot machines being addictive and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but first of all, let me do a little background.
Okay.
I never gambled, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a stand-up comedian, and I would play casinos. And they would give me free chips.
Right.
And, you know, not promo chips. They'd give me real cash chips. And then they would want me to play, you know, at tables and all that because people had seen me on stage and all that, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, but now when I'm done, if I won money or I lost money, it didn't matter. All those chips had to go back to the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because that's called being a shill. And, well, that's true.
Yeah,
in
no,
fact,
I get
when
it.
You go into casinos sometimes and you see somebody playing, say, baccarat. And they're playing by themselves, and they got a lot of money. Okay, well, that dude may not be his money. He may work for the casino as a shill.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, that table's hitting over there. I'm going to play that guy. No. he ain't getting that money. Anyway, what you're talking about on the slot machines, see, now, I usually have somebody drive me or have somebody ride with me because I have to have babysitters, caretakers, bodyguards, whatever. I don't know. There's like five different girls, and they're all ex-girlfriends. And and one of them, they coordinate amongst themselves on who's going to go with me because nobody will let me go by myself. And they make me do stupid things like eat and sleep, you know, crap like that. But you know, I get the suite and all that kind of whatever. They do what I tell you what, Jake. Now I'm a good bit older than you, but I tell you what, when I'm standing at a dice table and my chip trays are full with all the pretty chips.
Yeah.
Not them little chips. I'm talking about them gold chips and purple chips and all that. All of a sudden, there'll be some girl come up to me. I mean, she could be a bathing suit model. I mean, you know, 20-something years up, barely old enough to be in the thing. And she'll go, can you help me play this game? I don't know how to play it, you know. And And then one of my bodyguards who's playing slot machines will immediately come over and get in between us and go, how are you, and smile at me and then give her the devil look like, you're not getting any of this money, go away. So all the other old men at the table and old women, we laugh about it because we know. But anyway, that's why. But I wouldn't fall for that crap anyway. I understand, who I am and everything.
Yeah, if you understand who you, and that's the thing. If you know yourself that well, you can keep yourself out of that situation.
Absolutely, man. I'm 60 years old. What's a 25-year-old girl all of a sudden thinking I'm good looking?
But I mean, that's the point. You've got to know your limits. You got to know exactly what it is that does that to you. Because if it like Wendy does, if it's strong, if you already know what that is, you don't go. You stay away.
If you ride with me to Biloxi, here's what I tell everybody that rides with me or that's driving me. I say, don't bring, this goes to RJ, what you said is so right on. I say, of course I preach it, and I say, take your bankroll right now, and if you can't throw it out the window and have a good time, I mean, throw it out the window on the side of the road and have zero money and come back and have a good time. If you can't do that, then don't bring that money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do not bring that money in there.
It's odd. See, I don't go gambling a lot. Well, I don't go gambling at all, mainly because I don't get out of town to go do that. I probably look at it where I just stay away from, especially if it's just the machines. I don't like the machines. I like the tables.
Absolutely.
But I look at that in the same way around 4th of July and New Year's, where I think, ooh, fireworks would be great. And then I'm like, that's just okay. Do you feel good about setting, $100 on fire? You want to try and do that? And just why? Because that's all you're doing. Not to say that, I mean, you could look at that in any way that you spend money at all.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, especially if you're spending it to just, satisfy yourself type of thing. Like, ooh, I want this new game or something and I'll buy it. Am I going to like it? Or am I, rolling the dice on that too.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to be good or not, or if you're going to enjoy it, do you care about that 50 or 60 bucks? Is it not something you need right now? Well, then sure, go ahead. Spend it on the game that you want, if that's the case.
Okay, I got two more things. One about the Skinner box. That's the question.
That's what it is. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Because I got a BA in psychology too, because when I was in college, I got real degrees. I got bachelor of science degrees, MBA, JD in law. Anyway, but I got a BA in psychology because there was a cute girl and I followed her around and at registration and whatever she signed up for, I signed up for. And so I ended up with a bachelor, BA, Bachelor of Arts, I think it's called, and in psychology. But, I didn't want to just drive drunks back and forth to rehab, so I didn't go on and pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most psychology stuff does. Okay, so we know about the Skinner box, already since you said that. So,
yeah.
So you can explain that on your own. All right, play a slot machine. Sit down in a slot machine. Don't play a slot machine unless you can play the max bet. I mean, afford to play the max bet, and I'm going to tell you. All right, whether it's five lines or nine lines, okay, so if it's $5 is the max bet, that means you got to play all nine lines, right?
I guess. I don't ever do that. I don't ever do any of that.
Well, some of them have one line. Well, I'm telling you how to win money. Okay, so anyway, so if you can't afford to do 45 a spin, don't play that game.
Okay.
Okay, so now you got to find a game where you can play the max lines and the max bet. I'm not saying play the max. I don't. Here's the story with my gambling buddy. She goes down there with me. Now she's big around as she is tall. I call her my midget, and she's the main one that goes with me. And we go down and we play, and she'll play a machine. And I have to play with her some. So I play the slots. Okay. Well, you usually gonna have five buttons on there, and this is where in-game chat comes in. It's a game.
Oh, okay.
You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right?
Right.
Whatever they are, 50 cents, $1, $1.50, $2, $3, $5, whatever it is. Okay, I go ahead, I start at the bottom number, and I'll hit it 1, 2, 3 times. I hit the second one, 1, 2, 3, third one, fourth one, fifth one, and then I start running the numbers back down, fifth one, fourth one, third one. One of them's going to hit, and then one of them's going to hit more than the others. some machines will hit on the number 5, the max bet. This is because of the RNG chip that they got in the slot, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So number 3 may be hitting, and number 4 and 5 will never hit, you know, as frequently as number 3. Go back to that Skinner box, okay?
I know. That's why I stay away from that stuff, man.
And then just keep wearing that 3 out. Now, I'll make a bunch of money, and she goes, "You got my machine." Says that every time. So then I go to her machine sitting right next to me. She'll play my machine. She can't get it to work. And then I do the same thing.
Yeah, you never jump on the machine that just gave a win, because now the numbers reset.
Yeah.
You know? You pick a machine that somebody's been sitting there and hasn't had any luck with and moved away. Then you jump on that one and start going.
That's not true.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a story on that. But anyway, so I run the numbers the same as I did on the first machine, on her machine, and I'm hitting there. And then she says, "You got it," whatever. what you were saying about never get on a machine.
Yeah.
I hit 2 jackpots on this one machine, and I mean, for a considerable amount of money. And I said, "Okay, well, I'm done." I got out, I left, this lady comes over there, puts in her card, pushes the button one time, hits the 3rd jackpot. Yep. So that kind of stuff happens. But my point was, if you can't play at the max bet, then don't play the machine. I'm not saying play the max, because it may only hit on the first button, second button, third button, but you got to be able to afford to run all 5 buttons and find the sweet button. And I'm not saying that there's any fact or science behind it. I'm just saying that is 27 years of playing slot machines.
Right.
And it works.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about my idle game another time. I've taken up enough of y'all's time.
Well, but I want to hear about it. I want to hear about the idle game that you've done. So, yeah, call us back next week, because trust me, we'll still be playing ours.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Good hearing from you. Take care. If you want to get in on the show, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number, 334-272-9228. We also have a Discord, by the way. If you can find us on Discord, you know, basically just go to our website, ingamechat.net. Go all the way to the bottom of the page. You'll find links where you can find us on Twitch and Discord and everything else. You can join our Discord. In fact, we got somebody in there now. But unfortunately, we are at the top of the hour here. We do have to hit this break here and then come back. So Cruising13, who is in our Discord, just hang tight with us for a little bit. When we come back from this break, we will get to you, and we'll get to other games as well. And talk about what happened during the week. Also, we've got the PlayStation Showcase. What else? And there was some other stuff from Sony as well, especially when we're talking about Horizon Zero Dawn and the collector's edition that was released, or that was announced, for Forbidden West. And there were some interesting aspects of that, and kind of a reversal on Sony's on what Sony had originally said would happen. And not only a reversal, but also a look. We're going to do it this one time, but from here on out, we're not doing it anymore, okay? We realize we misled you, or you found a loophole, and so we have to do this. But from here on out, it's never going to happen again. Anyway, we'll tell you about that coming up here on In Game Chat. Music here from a game called, it's a game called Lake, and apparently all you do is deliver mail around a very large lake. That's it. The best I can tell with the demo, we played the demo.
We did.
Back when it was during the Indie Games Week or whatever it was, we played the demo, and all it was you delivering packages around a very large lake. Very chill type of game, if you're into that, but... And I am into, like, really chill type games, but not that one. That did not... That was more frustrating than it was. Relaxing and calm. But anyway, this is music from Lake. We'll be back with more of In Game Chat right after this. welcome back to In-Game Chat. Well, that sounds so much better. To me, anyway. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. We'll see.
You sound better.
Ooh, now. You sound better, too.
I do?
Yeah. Much better.
Oh, wait. I have the messed up mic now.
But you sound better.
But you sound better.
So it's the mic.
Maybe.
I hear it.
Yeah.
You sound much better, though. And I don't hear what you hear. I know when I sit at that desk or sit at that position, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about that you hear.
Okay.
And it's because of that mic. So yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about. You're not going crazy. I know what you mean.
Thank you.
But you do sound better on that mic. And
okay.
Yeah, I like the way this one sounds too. So anyway, music, by the way, music here from a game called Tormented Souls. It has a very horror thing to it, but
I don't sound
the
horrific.
Soundtrack is not so much. So yeah, remember October's coming up, so it's going to be a month long of spooky game music for all of our cuts and stuff, which is always fun. Didn't get to do a lot of that last year.
No.
I remember last year, I think we got in one show for the month of October. And then it was, and then I was out sick. Yeah. And that show, whatever show it was, I think reran like 3 weeks back to back to back to back before we get back in because I just could not,
couldn't function.
I couldn't make another show. I was so miserable with the COVID. Anyway, that's what that music's from is Tormented Souls. I think it came out recently.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly which system it came out for or if it's all of them or something like that, but that's where it came out. Let's go... Where is my computer button? And let's go to Discord here. And I believe we're going to be talking to Cruising. I hope I have the right button pressed here. Hey, Cruising, you there?
Oh, yeah. I was waiting to be called. I didn't know if you wanted to wait to be called or whatever.
No, yeah. I just want to make sure you're there. I want to make sure also that I had the right thing on the board here pressed up so that we could hear you.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on? Where are you located?
Oh, you mean in America? Yeah. Well,
just the
Ohio.
State.
Ohio.
Ohio. All right. That's awesome. We have, I think, Rich. Well, he's not on this show, but he's from Sheffield, I think. Sheffield, Ohio, I believe. Anyway, what's going on? What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just curious, like, were those advertisements meant to be there? Like,
No. This is an actual radio station. We have commercials and stuff that play during our show.
I don't know if you wanted the music to play along with that, or was the...
Do say again now?
Like, I thought the music was playing... I thought the lake music was the advertisements for a second, like, you know.
Oh, no. This is just, each week I go through and I find video games either that just released... Or if not, just any games that we haven't used before for some music. I go and I find music, and that's our bumper cuts to go into commercial breaks and to come back from commercial breaks, stuff like that. So.
Oh, okay. I guess let's move on then. But like, I've been thinking about like getting video, like you may remember a few other times here. I was like talking about games I was a part of, like you know, We Happy Few.
Oh, yeah. Okay, We Happy Few. Yeah.
I call in rarely, to be fair, but, you know, like...
When was the last time you called in?
It was actually on my phone, but I'm glad you guys have a I can talk on Discord now.
You sound great, by the way, on Discord. If people can do it, Discord, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds so much better than the phone, so...
Yeah. But, like... I guess I also talked about Wasteland 3, but, you know, like...
I remember that call. I remember talking about Wasteland 3. Yeah,
it was
remember that.
Very good, yeah. But onto my new topic. I've noticed something recently in the past few years through gaming that's changed indie-wise. Indie game?
Indie-wise? Did you say indie, like independent gaming?
Yeah. Like, you know, small company games, you know. I've noticed that, like... There aren't, like, it used to be when you go on Steam, you'd find a game, and you didn't know what it was, and you put it in, you downloaded it.
Right.
And you knew what, you didn't know what it was, but it was good, you know?
Sometimes. It's a hit and miss with indies sometimes. Obviously, and I mean, that goes without saying for every game. It's a hit and miss, depending on what you're going after there. And,
but there was a certain magic to the storefront where you could find a random game.
Yeah, I never use. See, I never use the storefront to look at to figure out. Now, I'm not sure, and other people can attest to this or not, because I know Steam does that curating thing, or they'll see, hey, you put a lot of time in this game. Here's some other games we think you might like that play like that. I'm not sure how well that thing works. I've never really taken their advice. I think a few times I've looked at something and thought maybe I would like that, and I'll take a look. But rarely does anything really pull me in without either seeing somebody or a lot of people on my friends list playing a certain indie game, or just
a YouTuber recommending it,
or something like that. And especially, well, that's the other thing. If Steam does recommend a game to me, or anybody for that matter recommends a game to me, and they think, hey, it's a little indie game, you'll love it, I get excited about it, because you know you can find some really great hidden gems when it comes to indie type games. But so the next thing I'll do, just like you said, I'll just hit up YouTube, find somebody who has played it, and take a look at it. I don't need anything in depth. I just need to know the basic mechanic, mostly, of like, how does this game play? What does it look like? There we go. You know, five, six minutes, and that's going to make my decision. Cozy Grove was something that Wendy and I both heard about. I saw people playing it, and I said, what is this about? And I also saw a lot of news articles, which, you know, I get it that these websites get sent review copies and press releases and all this other stuff, and they put this up there to talk about it, to sell the game. But I saw a lot of people talking about Cozy Grove, Animal Crossing. It's like this, but it's without all the anxiety of trying to log in every day to get stuff done. And
that
so
sounds amazing.
Right?
I've never heard of this game.
Yeah, Cozy Grove is really, really nice.
Is it on Steam?
It is on Steam, and it's on Switch. It's on Nintendo Switch.
That sounds right up my alley, personally.
Yeah, exactly. That was the same thing. We watched and again, exactly what I'm telling you right now. Go watch a trailer or go watch some gameplay so you can get acquainted with exactly what it is before you throw down. I think the $15 to play it.
Yeah.
Because $15, you still want to spend $15 to get your money's worth of something you're gonna enjoy, not something you're gonna think, will I like it? Will I not like it? You know. So
there's also a problem. Like, I don't know if you remember Total Biscuit or even know Total Biscuit.
I do remember Total Biscuit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like Total Biscuit personally, but I don't know what you guys thought.
Well, he passed away, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did
a while
pass away.
Ago, but like, he was my go-to to find hidden gems, and ever since then, I haven't been able to find hidden gems for a while.
Oh man.
Yeah. I don't know what channels to look for to find. YouTube channels or recommendation channels, for that matter, just to find a game that interests me that's indie, you know?
Yeah. No,
do you have any recommendations yourself, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, you know, we mentioned Cozy Grove.
No, I mean, like, channels that, like...
Channels that do indie games. Yeah. That's a good question.
Because ever since Total Biscuit, I feel like there's a certain thing that he recommended me, and I just knew it was good, you know?
Mm-hmm. I unfortunately can't think of anything. I have a few friends on my friends list on Steam who are very heavily into the indie game stuff, and whenever I see them playing a game for a certain amount of time, I kind of take notice of that and say, what is this? And so I look it up to see if it's something that's amazing. And we have him, he calls in from time to time. It's been a while since he's called in, but he's really big on just playing all the indie type stuff and talking about it. He used to write an article for when we did have a website back when we were part of Colony of Gamers and Evil Avatar and stuff like that. He'd write a little weekly column of games that he had played, or maybe it was monthly. I can't remember how often it was, but it was all indie stuff that he would cover. And I believe it was him. I may have seen him playing Cozy Grove, and that's what got me to take a look at it, just in combination with everything else. But no, I don't know of anything like that. Let me check the Twitch chat to see if anybody had... No, nobody said anything in Twitch chat to offer any kind of assistance there. But you're in our Discord now, and I would say keep watching some of the things there. We'll tag you when we come across something like that, and that way you can look at it and take a look and maybe find something or someone who does stuff like that where you can they can be your go-to guy again.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, yeah. But... how much longer can I talk, by the way? Because I don't want to hold up too long, obviously, but like...
I mean, go ahead. Go ahead. And what did you? What else did you want to talk about?
I guess, like, I do consider, like, these small publishers, like Devolver Digital. Well, I don't know if they're small, but, like, you know.
Right.
Not the...
When does a developer kind of lose that indie cred?
Yeah.
I know. That's a good question, because... Bungie, of all things, have argued that they're an indie dev, or other people have argued that they're an indie dev because they develop and publish their own games. They have no third party. Well, they do now. I think Tencent.
Are even first party like Sony games considered indie? Would you say like technically they are, but like they don't feel it, you know?
Right. You know, Insomniac Games. They're not an indie. I wouldn't call them indie only for the fact that you know they've got the support of Sony behind them. A game company we used to talk to a lot actually, and I haven't talked to them in a while. Twisted Pixel Games, who did Splosion Man, The Maw, Loco Cycle, but Microsoft bought them. You know, they were an indie studio, and then Microsoft bought them. And they still operated as an indie studio. It's not like they increased their staff once Microsoft bought them. They just had more money to put into the projects they were making. And it's everything that they put out still felt like an indie title, but they had the backing of Microsoft, which, you know, I don't know. I don't know what defines it. There isn't, obviously, there's nothing.
It's a feeling, I think, too, also. This game feels like it's made with a certain amount of, I don't know.
I know what you're talking about.
I want to say it's the amount of people involved. Like, it's a very few core people.
Maybe sometimes you can do that. Sometimes that passes, and then sometimes no, that doesn't. Because, I mean, if you only have three people, but you have money coming in from a massive corporation, are you still indie? Are you still independent? Independent.
Or even like Devolver Digital is a publisher, you know. They're not.
Right. And so then you have, okay, so now it's broken into layers, right? Independent developers and independent publishers. Mm-hmm. Is it an indie publishing house? Is it an indie developing house?
Mm-hmm. The point of indie is that they're independent, not published?
Yeah, maybe.
Originally, I mean.
Yeah, that's a good question.
What defines an indie? Developer, indie house, indie studio, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going for an indie developer, I would think it's just you, nobody else, no outside help. If you're an indie publisher, then I would think it's the money that you make off the games that you publish in order for you to make to then publish more games. Mm-hmm. But you don't have, it's all from you. There is no backing. But if you're an indie publisher that is helping developers develop and publish a game, then are those developers independent?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's, I don't know.
We're probably splitting hairs, and it probably makes no difference regardless, but I'm, you know, that's a good thing.
No, it doesn't, but like, it's an interesting topic, I think.
Yeah.
So we got size, funding, and influence?
Maybe.
Basically, those three things, really?
Maybe.
Minecraft was considered an indie game for a long time.
Yeah, Microsoft bought them, right?
Yeah, Microsoft bought them.
Yeah. It was Mojang, I believe. Wasn't that the...
But I don't know if you consider Minecraft an indie game even nowadays, because, like, you know, is Minecraft an indie game? I don't know.
No, it's Microsoft now. I mean, Microsoft is putting all the money in it. They're multi-platform. See, there's holes in all of these where it's like, yeah, that's indie, but then you can say, well, I don't know because of this, and you know, it's just...
I think it's all on personal perspective. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's going to be your own definition of what you think an indie is. Obviously,
I'm not forcing it on anyone. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like, you know.
I mean, not to go back to the game, the topic of the day, which would be Cookie Clicker, but one guy developed that game.
Yeah.
And it's a web-based game, and it's on Steam. There is no publisher. It is just the one guy, and that is it. Totally could be considered indie. Totally. And probably is considered indie. It's just him. It's just one dude. Mm-hmm. But if it was one dude who was backed by Microsoft or Sony, does he become independent then or no? You know?
Yeah. It's
or Nintendo or something like that. There's different ways to define it, but I don't think there's anything definitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And there's also another thing I've noticed about... Oh, one more thing and then I'll go.
Okay.
I've noticed that, like, all those little publishers, they don't really, they release a lot of, some of them release sequels to their previous, you know, small games, you know, but like a lot of the games that are, I see nowadays are funded by the main indie publishers, I guess we'd call them,
mm-hmm.
on the store page, you know. I remember a time, I guess what I'm saying is like when you would discover a random game from some random guy you didn't know, even know. You
yeah.
know? Man, now it's all established indie game developers, I think.
I haven't, it's been 2 years now since I've been to PAX, but whether the PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo thing, in Seattle, and then there's one in San Antonio. And it didn't matter if I was in Seattle or San Antonio. My favorite part of going to any of the PAX, the Penny Arcade Expos, was going to the indie mega booth, where it was just, it was like they were stacked on top of each other. Mm-hmm. But
but like also there were certain companies that got a lot of the room, like
totally. Digital. And that is the busiest part of the convention too. Now, I know your AAA is sure, but they've stuck this indie mega booth into the back, and it's expanded as big as I think it can get at this point, but it's still packed with people. Every single one of those people, every single one of those developers and those publishers or whoever it is that's over there in the indie mega booth, they are looking for your attention hard. And it doesn't...
I know.
Yeah, and it's not, but it's not hard to come by because the games that they're making can... There's... That's your jackpot.
I often worry about those game companies succeeding. I went to the PAX South in San Antonio.
I think
in 2019, maybe 2020.
Okay.
But like, no, it wasn't 2020. That's for sure.
No. Yeah, right. It wasn't then. It was 2019 or before. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think I was still in high school, but like, so probably 2018. So anyway, but like, it was like this huge. It only had one big game in PAX South, and that was Monster Hunter Worlds at the time.
Right, your big AAA title that, you know, was front and center on the show floor and that sort of thing. But obviously the indie stuff was did you...
It was the focus.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and I loved it. And it felt like... I felt like a kid in a candy store, basically.
It's wonderful. I love it. That's my favorite part of the convention floor is... well, it's Tiny Build, because I like them, and they have... plenty of like nice little obscure games, Graveyard Keeper, and
I love Graveyard Keeper.
Yeah, man, Graveyard Keeper and the Punch Club and
I never played Punch Club. Is that any good?
It's got a lot of nice little 80s references or 80 pop culture references, and it's fun. But if you like Graveyard Keeper, then I would stick with that. But Speedrunners is another one that they did. There's a lot of little games. Tiny Build, great little company that does a lot of little bitty kind of games. Obviously,
one of my worries, though, also is when I went to that convention, I also saw a lot later on when the games released to the public. You know, they didn't. Some of them didn't succeed. You know, some of them didn't make the sell a lot of copies. You know?
I know. Trust me, I know. And I hated it too for them because when you talk to them.
They seem so passionate.
They are massively passionate about it because they put everything they can into it.
And then sometimes I see like games that I went there for get mixed reviews. I'm like, those poor people, they got mixed reviews. But I don't know. Those people don't know that. But like, you know, I always feel bad for when a game doesn't do well that I went.
Yeah, one of the games I saw at the Indie Mega Booth was Axiom Verge, which is huge now. Chasm, which is another one made by the same company, actually. Here's an interesting one. The same people that made Myst, Cyan Entertainment or whatever, Cyan Worlds. You would think big company there, but they were in the indie mega booth showing off Abduction. When it was the many times actually they've been there in the Seattle one showing off Abduction, and you know they're still considered, or they are now considered indie. There was a time I don't think that they were, but they are now would consider themselves an indie developer. So,
well, there's one more thing. I remember playing a game called Crystals and something. I can't remember the name now, but like at the booth, and it was so fun. It was basically a match-free game, but like, you know, it had its own gimmick, and like it didn't sell well, and that really disappointed me.
Yeah, I know. You'll walk through that booth, and you'll see people crowded around some of these big four-player type, you know. battle games or any other thing where people are just crowding, you think that's probably going to get real successful, and then it releases and it doesn't do too well. You know,
yeah.
It's a little different.
And you knew the people too.
I know.
Well, that's all I wanted to say. So,
well, dude, thanks so much. Hang around in our Discord there again. I'm with you on the indie thing. I love indie games. I just don't. I can't find. They're there, but it's just hard for me to stumble upon one that really, ticks that box of wanting to continue to play it, or it hits the right notes and everything like that. So, but yeah. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
No problem. Should I exit the Discord?
You can leave the chat channel. That's perfectly fine. We'll talk to you later, man. Thanks.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
We're going to take a break here, and then when we come back, we're going to go over the news that we've got for the week here. If you want to get in touch with us, 272-9228, or like Cruisin' did, hit us up on Discord. Here is music from a game called Phenotopia Awakening. It's some, I don't exactly know what the game's about, but this is some character's theme. It's very Japanese, I think, or look that way. But yeah, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is a song called Arc, or a track called Arc. It is from a game called Cloud Gardens. Looked like another very chill type of game. Just not delivering mail around a lake type of thing.
Not even a boat.
No boat. Just a big old delivery truck.
It's a big circle.
Yeah.
Like Daytona.
Yeah, it's a big circle. Mm-hmm. Big circle. So earlier we were talking about Sony and PlayStation Plus games, by the way, for September. It is Overcooked All You Can Eat Edition, Hitman 2, and Predator Hunting Grounds. Those are the ones you can get for PlayStation Plus in September. I believe Microsoft's already announced what they were, and I may have already said that. Wait, is that the same? Okay, I opened up the thing twice. So earlier this week, I say it's earlier this week. I think it happened last week before last.
Yeah.
During the week, we didn't do a show. They announced a big collector's edition and all these different editions of Horizon Zero Dawn Forbidden West, or is it just Horizon Forbidden West? I think it's just Forbidden West is what it is now. But it's the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn. There was talk of, they have a PS4 version and they have a PS5 version.
Mm-hmm.
Two different versions there. And the PS4 version is like 50 or 60 and the PS5 version is 70.
Okay.
But they talked about the, originally when they showed off this trailer, and this is going back oh God, a good year ago, I would say, maybe mm-hmm. maybe more than that. There was talk about, hey, the game's going to get a free upgrade. You know, if you buy it on PS4, you'll be able to upgrade it to PS5. This was back when they thought it was going to be coming out a lot earlier in the life of the PlayStation 5, and I guess the thought was is that plenty of people are going to be doing the transition, so we'll let them do it free, that sort of thing. Anyway, at some point down the line, Sony made the choice of saying, okay, our first party games will not get a free upgrade. If you want to upgrade, you'll have to pay the $10 extra or whatever you have to do mm-hmm. to do the upgrade. So if you bought the PS4 version and you get a PS5 and you want that version, you pay 10 extra bucks and you'll be able to get it. Unless, of course, you buy it physical, and then that changes things. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there was kind of a loophole there because what they had originally said did not suffice for what they were saying now. They went back and they corrected everything and said, okay, fine, you won't have to pay extra money to upgrade your PS4 copy to a PS5 version. However, Sony did say that this is it, though. We're not mm-hmm. doing this again. You could do it on this one, but any other first-party games that we release from here on out does not get the free upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They announced 9 different versions of the game. Only some more expensive variants include both the option to play on PS4 and PS5. I think if you got the Collector's Edition or the Uber Collector's Edition, you get both copies. You get a PS4 version and a PS5 version, which is interesting because can I sell the copy I don't want? Can I give away the copy that I don't want? Does it happen that way, or is it one code that unlocks the PS5 version or the PS4 version, whichever one you enter it on?
Oh, yeah, you're getting a code or a physical copy, yeah.
There are no physical copies.
No.
In the versions I just mentioned. Yes, if you go out and buy the standard edition of a game, it does come with a physical copy.
Okay, yeah.
The collector's edition does not have a physical copy. It is a digital download. The Uber collector's edition does not have a physical copy. There's a digital download. Odd thing is, it still comes with a steelbook. There's just nothing inside. Uh-huh. I know.
This is hitting me like that Call of Duty that came with all these no game at all. What the?
Yeah. They do offer that. Was it them? No. Destiny offered that. Bungie offered that for the Witch Queen that comes out in February.
Okay.
They're like, hey, you can get all this really fun stuff, and we'll knock off like $50 or $60 because you won't get the game.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but you can get all this collector stuff, and then you don't have to have the game.
I guess this would hit folks fine who are used to the digital download code, used to putting things in their hard drive or whatever, but I'm more of the type that likes a physical copy in my hand. So the fact that you got this collector's edition thing, but no game.
Mm-hmm.
That strikes me odd.
I mean, you get the game, just a digital version of it.
Don't want if I'm buying a collector's item, I want a physical disc.
Yeah,
that I can hold, not some code on paper. That's just me, though.
I understand. If you look at, Destiny doesn't sell physical copies anymore. With their expansions and everything else, they don't sell physical copies.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and buy Forsaken or any of the expansions like inside a store, you're buying a digital copy of the game. You're not buying a physical thing. If it comes with a box at all,
yeah,
they haven't. The last Destiny box I bought was Destiny 2 Base.
Same here.
You know, I picked it up at I think it was Best Buy, and I opened it up and there it was, just a piece of paper on the inside with a code to download from the Blizzard, whatever that was.
From the Blizzard, yeah.
The Blizzard store thing, I don't know what it was. The Acta Blizzard, the store.
Yeah.
There was nothing. It was just a piece of paper with a code on it.
Yeah.
You know? No physical copy whatsoever. And Destiny hasn't released a physical copy that I know of since D1, I would say.
I'm going to have to look at my folder again.
I have an unopened Destiny 1 Collector's Edition.
Mm-hmm.
That came with a ghost inside of it.
Yeah.
And a copy of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Completely unopened. A physical copy of the game.
That's the same for 2.
Yeah. For 2, no. There wasn't.
I'm going to have to reject because I played 2 on PS4, so.
I got a steelbook
Yeah.
But I got a digital copy of the game. I believe it was a digital copy.
That's wrong. What I'm saying, because I played it on it. I'm pretty sure I put a disc in the system every time I played a disc too.
Yeah, I think,
PS4,
you know, so. I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, for console, yeah. Of
console,
course you
yeah.
did. Yeah.
Yeah. Console.
Yeah, exactly, because I got the same thing. But yeah. but once you hit that base type game, and even now, I don't think you could probably go out and buy it unless you buy it used.
Yeah, used has to be.
But it's free to play. The game's free to play, so why would you go buy it used?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no physical copies exist of that. And that's just, that's how it is with that. But I think, I don't know, it takes money to produce those physical copies.
Yeah.
You got to have enough people who are buying
those. It's always been said that it's easier to... you make a bigger profit if you just make it digital instead of having to pay the money on producing discs and everything like that.
So, yeah, and this is a conversation that you were probably a part of, but I know James was here. We talked about it.
You and James was talking about it.
Because we're like, the digital side of games, I don't understand why they don't undercut the physical. Unless there's some sort of rule that they can't. Some sort of contract that they're under where they can't. Well, we know they can because the store sometimes has sales.
Yeah.
But on a brand new release game, I would think you would, not at a loss, but if you make it cheaper than the physical, then you incentivize it so much better.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, it's more expensive than the physical, especially when you get into the used aspect of games.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to buy something used, even though, and I understand how some stores... You know the stores I'm talking about. I'm just not going to say their name. You know how some stores will say, well, the used version is just $5 cheaper. And I'm like, well, I'd rather just pay the extra $5 to get a brand new copy and be done with it. But I understand. Still, that's $5 cheaper than what the retail version is and what the online store version is.
Yeah.
They could really move some product if they just, you know, be like, hey, you don't have to pay for packaging. So here's a cheaper version of the game that you want. You just got to have hard drive space or want to do the digital thing. Some people don't. Mm-hmm. Would you do it based on price, or are you still just stuck with the?
It's just what I'm used to informing and getting a digital. I mean, not digital, a physical copy. That's what I've been used to. What I'm doing for decades, but I can understand the aspect of digital only. I mean, some games I've got digital only. I couldn't get a physical copy. The only way I could play this game is get digital only. So I just have to bite the bullet and get that and make sure I got the hard drive space and everything of that nature. But, I mean, and if push comes to shove, man, a game get popular enough, you get test the success of places like Nicalis or limited run games and things like that. But they make a physical copy of something and they see it out there and bam, you know, you want to pick that up. I've double dipped on some games like that for that, just for the collectability and nostalgia.
You had the digital and then you wanted the
digital,
physical?
Yeah, I got the digital. I think most recently, Panzer Dragoon Remake.
Mm-hmm.
That finally came in from Limited Run Games. The physical came in. It looks really nice. Got the big Sega Saturn case with the reversible thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the collectability of it, really.
But when you talk about Limited Run Games, they make it worth your while because they really, you know, they really kick it up to make it worth owning a physical copy.
Streets of Rage 4 has had a really nice physical from them as well. Looks really nice, yeah. So I'll pick that up. Double dip sometimes, yeah.
Still haven't done a limited run games thing yet. Yet.
Yeah.
I imagine I'll get there. Just they got to hit the right game that maybe I want a physical copy of.
It's just get their newsletter and they'll tell you what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you like, pick it up. If not, you should move on to the next.
And it was tempting with that Castlevania thing they did, but I still passed on that. So, it was just 9 different versions of the game, and then none of them offered free or even a paid upgrade path from the basic PS4 version to the PS5 edition. This was odd because in the past, Sony had promised that these kind of upgrades would be free. Now, after a lot of online pushback and criticism, Sony has reversed course and will offer a free upgrade path for the Horizon sequel. What this means is, get the PS4 version and then upgrade to the PS5. If you've got a PS5, get the PS4 version of the game. You're going to be paying $10 less.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't change their prices, by the way.
No.
The PS5 is still $70 and the PS4 is still $60.
$70, $60, yeah.
But there is a free upgrade path, so why would you even... I don't know. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
But like you said, during the break, you said, this is it, last time.
Yeah, so they've said that everybody who buys the open world sequel on PS4 will now get the PS5 version for free.
Yeah, all the first title games, we will get our 70.
Yeah.
So.
But use it now while you can. Sticking with PlayStation, they had their PlayStation Showcase the other night. I was not expecting what I got out of this. There was a lot of... I don't want to say talking again. I didn't have complaints about the presentation, to be honest with you. Okay. Very few talking and a lot of showy. The one problem I did have with it was the stuff they were showing is just so far down the line before we're gonna see anything at all of
a couple of years
substance from it. More than likely.
At least a couple of years.
Yeah, probably summer or winter
summer of
next 2023. Year, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Just early looks at some stuff. Now, Knights of the Old Republic is getting a remake for the PS5. That was interesting to see. What else? Insomniac Games, who worked on the Spider-Man game, is now working on a Wolverine game. But that's... Way down the line. Not even a release date. Just that they're developing a Wolverine game. That's all we know. There was nothing else from that. And the little trailer they showed had nothing representing gameplay whatsoever. It was just a teaser. That was it.
A logo?
Yeah, there was a logo. I mean, standard Wolverine comic book title logo.
Okay.
Let's see. They also announced Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the sequel to 2018's Spider-Man, of course, and that will be out for the PS5 in 2023. But I expect that to get pushed back. I don't expect them to hit
that 2023. You expect AAA titles to be pushed back at least
easily, once or twice. Yeah. Now, they did show off God of War, but they didn't give any kind of a release date that I know of. Let me see. The trailer shows... Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there was. I don't think there was a release date that we got. Maybe there was a year to it. I don't remember. But it's God of War Ragnarok. We actually did get some gameplay from that and some more. That's further along, I would say, than probably any of the Sony first-party titles that they were showing off. That was probably further along than any of them. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. There was a trailer for that. Project Eve.
Is it Parasite Eve?
No, I thought so too, because I heard Eve mentioned during the trailer, but it's Project Eve. I don't think it has anything to do with Parasite Eve. The combat was interesting to see. I tell you, it gave me a very Platinum Games feel. Gave me a very Platinum Games vibe. It is not Platinum Games, but it gave me one. We got the announcement of Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, which is coming out early next year. It is remastered Uncharted, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, Uncharted 4, and then Lost Legacy as well. All of them for both.
Pack.
Yeah, for PlayStation 5 and for PC, which was interesting that they're going to be released on PC.
Yeah, because the PS4 collection was 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yeah, the Nathan Drake collection is what it was called. Yeah, that was 1, 2, and 3. And then they released 4, and then they released Lost Legacy.
Okay, so I've got them all already.
You do.
I just haven't played 3 and... No, I haven't finished 2. I played 1, haven't finished 2, and haven't played any others. So just another title to add. Just a few more titles to add to the backlog, of course.
Yeah, I was looking at... These are going to... Yeah, that's amazing that the entire thing is coming out for PC.
Mm-hmm.
Like the all five,
all the Uncharted on PC. Yeah.
I know, that's a lot of Uncharted, which is great. I love
mods.
Haven't heard of anything about that.
I'm saying the mod community is going to get on that and do some stuff. Thank God for the mod community.
Totally,
they've revamped a whole bunch of games on PC. I'm not a PC gamer, but I've thought about some games on a PC because of mods.
Well, so we got Blood Hunt, which was Vampire the Masquerade's multiplayer thing. Gran Turismo, man. Gran Turismo 7. March 4th, 2022 is when that's getting released. That's a beautiful game to look at, but I have no desire to play that. It's way too simulation.
Yeah.
You know? And I actually enjoy watching people play that game who enjoy playing simulated driving games.
Who knows how to tweak an engine to do exactly what it wants for whatever track they're running on.
But when I get into them, I can't.
Yeah.
I just want to look at the pretty cars. That's pretty much it. Because it's just gorgeous. They are gorgeous in this game. I have not seen, like, you can, Forza, whatever. I know they run with it. And they do it yearly, but when Gran Turismo talks about, like, we're going to release a game, it is once a decade, it feels like, that they release a title.
Yeah.
Because it is so, so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time they spend on making those games look so amazing. Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm just not sold on that. On that game from Square Enix. Deathloop, another trailer for Deathloop.
Mm-hmm.
Getting closer and closer. Ghostwire Tokyo got a trailer. It's delayed to 2022, but it got a trailer. It didn't really tell me much of what was going on, but I'm still kind of hooked. Another announcement that they made was the next-gen version of Grand Theft Auto V. And all I've seen since this is articles that say, everybody's ready for the next Grand Theft Auto, but Rockstar does not want to give that to you. People are tired of this Grand Theft Auto 5, man. There was a trailer at this PlayStation showcase for GTA 5.
So you're not showing us anything new?
No, it's just GTA 5 for PlayStation 5. And Grand Theft Auto Online for PlayStation 5. That's it.
Yeah.
They keep making the cookies. It won't stop.
Because it keeps making the money.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing. They got something that they make cookies, and then when they sell this, it makes more cookies. And so they don't do anything with it.
So why would they stop?
At some point.
Well, at some point it'll stop, but I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Because they still keep making
content for it.
I know. They got to get still, to six at some point, right?
As long as five. When five stops making money for them. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Lethal Migraine. I know that you're over there. It's just if you're watching on cam, the chat room is off to my left here, and I have to actively, you know, turn around and look and try and read at that distance and try and keep up with the chat room. So I'm so sorry that I'm not able to relay people's chats and what they're saying and get that out there to get your opinion done. Alan Wake is getting a remaster. We kind of knew about that ahead of time, but that's a fantastic game. I can't wait to play that on as a remaster type title. Although, if it comes, it probably won't. At the time it was released, it was on Microsoft, and so it should be a part of Game Pass. But they're not. It's going to be on PlayStation 5 now. I believe it will be out for the Microsoft system as well. Yeah, it'll be out for PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox, and PC.
Mm. I think I had that on Steam.
I do have it on Steam. You're right. Yeah. We also got to see a game called Forspoken. Interesting title. I wasn't sure exactly what I was seeing here, or how it was playing out, or what it was doing, but there was something. There was something about it with the character animations, with the dialogue. There was something there that felt very, very familiar. And I realized what it was. It's written by Amy Hennig.
Oh.
Yep. I wasn't getting Uncharted vibes from it, but there was something about the dialogue, the character animation and voice work, very, very familiar, and it honestly, I would throw it back and say, hey, it felt like this was something from Naughty Dog, even though we knew definitively that it was not whenever the trailer started.
Mm-hmm.
But it just had those touches. But obviously it had those touches because Amy was behind it. So, yeah, don't exactly know too much about it. But it's from Square Enix, and it's supposed to come out in spring of 2022. Sure. Yeah. Sony says that game will be a limited PlayStation 5 exclusive. and a new Rainbow Six game, or no, Rainbow Six Extraction, whatever that was as well. So that's what came out at the PlayStation Showcase. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show here, and we haven't gotten to everything, and I just closed the one thing I wanted to talk about. It was about the fact that the Epic versus Apple thing that's going on, there was a bit of a ruling, and it was ruled in Epic's favor, by the way. I can't exactly tell you everything that was there. I read up on it, but I don't have time to go into it now because we are getting closer and closer to the end of the show here. What else did I want to hit on before we go? I had some reviews for WarioWare, and there was another game as well that I had some reviews for also. WarioWare is a nice little mini-game collection. I don't know if you ever played it when it was on, I think it was on GameCube, and I think it was on some of your handheld systems as well, and now it's on the Switch. I'm looking here at 4 out of 5, 9, 8, 4 out of 5, 8, 4 out of 5. Yeah, so 3 out of 5. Yeah, really good reviews all the way around, but it's nothing but a bunch of little mini-games. I want to say I had it when it was on the Wii U, maybe? Or the Wii itself? I'm not sure exactly which system it was. I really enjoyed it. No. I'm sorry. It was on the DS.
No. Okay.
Yeah, it was on, I believe it was on the DS. And I really, really enjoyed it. So good to see that it's got some favorable reviews there. Anyway, we want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the show, or the radio, and the stream, by the way, as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes, or well, however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Don't forget to join our Discord. You can find that by going to our website, ingamechat.net. Go all the way to the bottom. You'll see the Discord. You'll see the link to the Discord, the link to Twitch, the link to our YouTube channel, where you can also subscribe and watch there. Subscribe to us on Twitch. You'll get notifications every time we go live, which is usually just every Saturday at 4. But sometimes we do stream. So I'll stream some Cookie Clicker. What? We sit there and watch it, right? I'm sure. Different. Look, if you go to Twitch and you go through their games, I bet you'll find Cookie Clicker on there not too far from the top of the list. Or at least search for it, and you'll see somebody with like 13,000 people watching somebody play Cookie Clicker.
Oh, yeah, let's see.
Are you going to try that right now?
I'm just going to put Cookie Clicker in the search thing. And
for Twitch?
We'll see what happens. See channels, 28 viewers, people. Just Cookie Clicker. That's a viewer category. 169 viewers. Let's see past videos. Yesterday, someone had from Spain, a little over 14,000 views. a four hour 20-minute video got 14,000 views yesterday. Let's see. Yeah, that's a big one.
Right.
Yeah.
Just watching Cookie Clicker. Yep. Hey, by the way, we can cross-play in Destiny now. I want to say I told you that already, but yeah.
Okay. I don't think I have it installed.
You on your PlayStation and me on the PC, we can cross-play.
Okay.
Yep.
I just had to put it on my system.
Yeah, well, it's if you want to.
A whole bunch of gigs.
Oh, boy.
That's a whole bunch of gigs.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a lot.
Hey.
All right, folks.
I took Cyberpunk off there for a reason because it was that big. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we appreciate everybody joining us. Thank you guys so much. Biloxi Gambler for calling in. Cruising for joining us on Discord. Everybody have a fantastic week. We will do this again next week. Here is music from a game called The Artful Escape, which I believe is on Game Pass. Don't know much about it. It looks really pretty. This is called Ode to Lightman. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.